The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi guys!
Hey! Oh my goodness, this is so weird.
I know. This is what the pandemic has done to us. We've now decided to record virtually.
I mean, we did before, but this is our first visual and audio recording together.
Yeah,
we're trying to make it work, guys.
We are
because
we still want to give you guys good content, but at the same time, safety first.
So yeah. And we don't know how long we're going to be in this pandemic for. I mean, look, it's 2021 and we're still in this shit, so we need to make the most out of it. Life can't just stop. This is us. Bear with us. Hopefully this comes out great, at least, or okay.
But guys, let's introduce ourselves. So, welcome back to another episode of She's in a Pod. If you don't know who we are the Millennials Women Safe Space. We are an online community building a generation of beautiful boss women who are thriving, who are learning, who are evolving, and who are bosses, really. So if you don't know me, I am Shade Oludoyi. Yes, Shade or Shade, whichever one floats your boat.
Nice. And my name is Jen, you can call me whichever, I'll answer to all.
And the third musketeer is living her best life in Ghana, so she's not with us at the moment. But yeah, she's living her bestest life, so she's just enjoying doing what she's doing in Ghana, and we thought, let's just keep recording, let's do this, you know.
But she'll be back soon, and
she will.
So, how are you, Shade?
Girl, I am okay.
Okay.
I think that's probably the way to describe it. 2020 was a whirlwind. Happy New Year, guys. Happy New Year.
This is a new year. Oh, gosh.
Albeit it doesn't feel like it, but it is a new year. We made it, so, you know, thank God. But, yeah, I'm okay, you know. Last year was a whirlwind. There were some wins, there were some losses, but overall we're alive, so you know, I'm good, and I'm hoping that this year is a better one. The years do just kind of feel like it's kind of just rolled into one.
It feels like everything's
a proper
merged
demarcation of a year. I think it's definitely it's something the COVID thing, I think that's had a part to play for sure. And then just the whole pandemic, the lockdowns, it's just it's all been a lot. So, but yeah, apart from that, I'm good. She's in the Pod is my safe space. So as much as we say, you know, we're a safe space for other women, this is also my safe space. This is where I can express myself, where I can feel free. So yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm excited for what 2021's got in store for us. How about you?
Yes.
How are you? How's your brand? You're doing amazing things. Please plug yourself. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so She Aspires. I don't think I speak a lot about that on the podcast, but She Aspires
is something. You don't, and you need to.
It's something that I started a couple of years ago. It's all about uplifting women in their careers. It's about providing resources and really getting them to the next stage and, you know, utilizing those resources to do that. So, you know, hopefully by the time this is out, my planner would be out as well. Really hoping. But yeah, it's called the Working Woman Planner. It's a very different type of planner where we have some chapters about self-development, about self-esteem, confidence. So we really try to make it as unique as possible and also take you on a journey as well. Because like
there
you already
are
said,
a lot of planners though, girl. Have you seen? So
yes.
For some reason, this year there have been a lot more brands doing planners. How are you standing out? Like, how are you differentiating yourself like this from the others?
Because Dragon's Den or something.
In it, like, pitch your business to me. Why should I invest in you? But you know, okay. God, it's the reality. It really is the reality.
It's true.
So how are you planning to make yourself different from all the other planners that we're seeing?
So to answer your first question, there are so many planners coming out, so many amazing planners, to be fair, which is always great because you can see what other people have done and what you can apply to your business as well. For me, this is something that, you know, I've been planning for months now. And I guess the reason why I haven't brought it out is because of time, COVID, right. You know, all that kind of stuff. But essentially, mine is very much career focused and it's very much, you know, taking that woman on their journey throughout their career. So looking a little bit at finances, looking a little bit at confidence. We have a self-care section as well. So making sure you take care of your body, taking care of your mind. So we really wanted to encompass everything inside this planner. And of course, judging by the feedback and judging by, you know, how well or some of the criticism that we will get, we can adapt and everything. But I just thought it would be great to have something like that. And, you know, it's undated as well, so there's no pressure to finish the planner in a certain time.
Love that, girl. So, and speaking of planners.
Yeah.
So
plug, yep.
Yes, let me quickly plug. So I purchased this planner from Notes to Self Daily by Sarah Destiny. And so far so good. It's so beautiful. This is how it, you know, looks on the inside. Don't know if my lighting is blocking it, but this is how it looks on the inside. Then there's some quotes, and what I haven't seen in some other planners is, you know, about building habits. You can see I've already started writing it.
Oh, lovely.
Building habits. Then it's got some finance goals and you know, how to actually save to achieve, I guess, different amounts in a year. And it's just lit. You know, I'm really liking it so far. It's got an affirmation section, which again is, I love how she's done it. You could tell hers is genuine and it's original as well. So I'm looking forward to using it.
Yeah, and I know she sold out.
She did, you know,
the first batch that she released, which is amazing. So,
which again stresses the importance of just doing it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who is how just many people it. Are doing planners? If you know yours is lit, release it.
Yeah, and I guess you know, one could say the same for podcasts. You know how many podcasts, women empowerment podcasts, there are out there.
Exactly,
like,
there's just so go many. For it. So many.
I think, you know, in my experience and me now with this planner as well, like, I won't let that stop me from bringing out my own because I know I've got my own twist on it. It's unique in my eyes and hopefully will be unique in other people's eyes. So yeah, that's a message at the beginning of the podcast and that's we haven't even started.
Come on, girl. Can I get an amen? But yeah, all right. Should we move into the topic for today? So,
yeah.
The topic for today is getting your life, having the pressure to have your life together before 30 years old. Now, this topic, more than ever, is so apt for this moment in time where everyone has turned into a hustler. Everyone is buying houses. Everyone is on 100K on Twitter, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's getting engaged, getting married, having kids.
How could I forget about that? In fact, can we just pause there, please?
Oh my God.
Has there not been an influx in engagements or am I going mad?
I don't know if it was COVID today, but
people are thinking the world is going to end soon. So they're just like, let me just lock in my one now before the world ends. Because honestly, it's crazy.
But it's beautiful.
2020
see,
in particular.
Though.
It is. Yeah. It is. I just hope people are doing it for the right reasons because at the same time, there are also a lot of marriages that are crashing at the same time.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm just hoping everyone is proposing and getting engaged for the right reasons because that's important.
Let's hope. But anyway. On to our topic. I mean, do you feel like you have any sort of pressure to get your life, because, you know, we're both in our 20s still.
Yeah, I'm 26 for context. And
I'm 25. So do you feel like you've got any pressure in any area, whether it's career, relationship, to get your life together?
So I do feel pressure. I think that's a short answer.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely do feel pressure. And the pressure comes from so many different places. Funny enough, I don't feel pressure from my parents, which I know most people do, and we'll definitely come on to that. I don't actually feel pressure from my parents, you know, it's more just external pressures. So, like, when I say external, social media, people my age, maybe around me that I know of, that, you know, are achieving these milestones that I kind of wish I also was. You know, everyone kind of promoting what they're doing and making 100k in 6 weeks and all of this, all of that. It's pressures just from those kind of places,
which is not the norm, by the way. It's, just to point that out, that is not the norm.
It's not the norm. And yeah, and this is the damaging thing, because social media is also making it seem like all of this is the norm. So, like, the other day a girl tweeted that she got her first mortgage at 19, which is beautiful. Well done to her, because getting a mortgage is an achievement, and I hope to get my mortgage very soon too, as you know, and as I've said on the podcast, you know. I think I even said it on our first episode last year. I was saying that, you know, I hope to buy a house.
Yeah, and look at you soon. Now you're in the process.
Oh, I'm in the process, thank God. Almost there. but, you know, social media will make you feel like that's the norm, but buying a house at 19 but the is thing not is, the norm.
We don't know her story. I mean, I don't know her story. I don't know who contributed to her actually getting that property at such a young age. You never know. She might have had a trust fund, or you know, you don't really know people's stories. It's what everyone puts the highlight out on social media, and I think that's what also makes it a bit detrimental for those who are viewing it, who feel like, oh, I should be achieving that, when actually that's not their full reality.
And can I just a point on that as well? So when I was doing Inspire London, I was going to do an event, and I wanted someone who was a young homeowner to speak to inspire others and to kind of give us tips and all of that. And I spoke to a girl who I knew of and had known her for the fact that she'd owned her own home. And I messaged her, I was like, oh, so-and-so, I'd really love you to speak at my event. You know, I've heard that you've purchased your own home. I'd love for you to come. And then she said, actually, I don't think I can, because I didn't purchase this home. It was given to me by the government.
Right. Do you know what?
Now,
at least
from the outside looking in, honest. At least sis was honest. Because she could have been like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll share my tips. I was saving £1,000 a month. Then I put down 50k. The house was given to her. But from the outside looking in, we would be like, oh, yes, young homeowner, well done, giving her flowers, saying all of this, saying goals, goals, goals. But we don't know what we're saying goals to.
But the thing is, even that, even her story, that's still amazing. Like, for her to have a property. And it goes back to that whole argument of, you know, have you really made it if you're renting? Or is actually buying a house and getting a mortgage better than, you know, renting? And that sort of comparison, which I don't really like, because for her, that could be a win. But then to other people, they could be like, oh, but you didn't buy it. But listen, everybody's journey is different. Everybody's idea of success is different as well.
Because trust me, even those people that have gotten a mortgage, people are still saying, oh, but I hope you know a mortgage doesn't mean you own the home. So people always find something to say.
It just goes on and on. Yeah.
Just focus on your journey, because there will always be a rebuttal for your milestone or for something you've achieved. Someone will always have something to say to diminish it. So, in terms of pressure, I definitely do feel
pressure. But like, what specifically, like, because obviously you can get pressure from different areas in your life, but like, what specifically money, can you think of?
Okay. Salary, money, home buying, marriage. I say because marriage was a big thing for me, and I can't believe I'm even saying this, because I've always been like, yes, I want to get married yesterday, you know. But I think now that I'm growing older and I'm starting to see the realities of what marriage actually is and how difficult the institution of marriage actually is, I am just like, I'm called to take my time.
Take your time with it.
Yeah. If my boyfriend proposes, I will say yes, but there's no pressure. I'm not feeling pressure in that aspect. So my pressure is mainly money, you know, like how much I'm saving, what I'm buying, investments. I'm feeling a lot of pressure to have the multiple streams of income. That's definitely mm-hmm. a big one for me at the moment.
Yeah.
What about you? Nah, and we'll dissect that. We'll dissect the whole, you know, multiple streams. But yeah, what about you?
I would say the same. I mean,
yeah,
I'll definitely say my pressures have changed over the years as I've gotten older. So initially my pressure would have been, oh, I want to make sure I have a good job, not just a good job, but a job where I'm earning 30k plus. And when I came out of university, I wasn't earning that. I got a good job, but neither I wasn't was I, earning girl. 30k plus. But my, you know, first sometimes job
was £9. It was advertised as £10 an hour. It was a contract job.
Oh gosh,
it was advertised as £10 an hour. I think I've even said this before. And when I signed the contract and everything, you know, this agency stuff, especially when you're so young in the working world, they will scam you and you will just not even realise. So, they advertised it as £10 an hour and I was calculating how much I'll get up. And I was like, okay, cool.
But not calculating tax.
Not calculating tax.
Yeah.
And then when I actually started, it was like £9.47 or something. And I just thought, this is not my life.
It's just, they're just cheating you. But yeah, like, you know, that was my initial pressure. And then when I you know, passed the benchmark that set for myself, it was like, oh, but I need to be earning 40k now, or I need to be in a senior position. So it's changed over the years, but I would say right now for me, two things. I would say, and these pressures are coming mainly from, not my parents as well, they're not really coming from family, they're coming from, you know, society and, you know, who I surround myself with as well, because you know, I have a very diverse friendship group where I have people who are maybe in retail, people who are, you know, in their chosen careers, people are still trying to find their feet. So I'll say the first one is finances as well. And, you know, just being at the point where I can really, really save towards getting a mortgage, because I too one day would like to purchase my own home. And then the second thing I would say is not even marriage, but it's just like finding the right person sort of thing. And maybe
I can't lie, I get that
because I'm still, you know, not in a relationship, and then also because I am 25, and not to say that I am old or anything like that, but I guess those pressures of, oh, you know, you should use your 20s to, you know, explore and all that kind of stuff. I'm really, you know, trying to take advantage of that. But hey, pandemic.
coronavirus. Pandemic
has just knocked everything
it's
out.
Paused, so, it's literally paused our life. Like, it's mad. Yeah. Because I can remember when we recorded that episode on Anchor and we were talking about how the pandemic has affected our dating life. I feel like that was so long ago, sis. That episode. Like, the way time is flying.
Time is flying.
It's just mad.
But, you know, it's crazy. But do you feel like, I mean, we've now said that we didn't really feel pressure from our parents, or not at this stage anyways, but have you ever, like, at any point in your life felt pressured from your parents, or have you ever, like, compared yourself to friends or anything like that?
Yeah. So I think my pressure was when I first graduated and I was looking for a job. I kind of felt a bit of pressure because, you know, my dad would be like, you know, how's job hunting going? Like, kept on kind of asking me. And it's just like, obviously I'm job hunting. I'm not just sitting on my ass at home. Yeah. Obviously I'm looking for a job. Obviously I'm trying my hardest, but it's hard out here type thing. So it kind of, it made me a bit insecure because I just felt like, oh, did I study the wrong degree? If I studied something more professional, quote unquote, or something with a more clear career path, would I have a lot more ease in finding a job? Because I studied psychology, and with psychology there's so many different paths that you can go in.
Yeah, there's so many avenues. Yeah,
this is it. Yeah, because it's so broad. So it did make me feel a bit insecure. Yes, they didn't compare me though, and that's one thing I really, really appreciate my parents for not doing, because Nigerian/African,
oh my gosh, Just African parents in general, they compare so much. I mean, does this person have two heads? You know, heads, why are you not first? Why can't you get an A? Yeah. Like, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's damaging. It really is damaging.
Very damaging.
And I don't think they realise. That's the thing. And, you know, like, even the whole, you know, what we're speaking about today, Jen. So, Big Tipper, the video that came out about his mum, you know, kind of verbally abusing him, you could even say, at the fact that he's 24 but still sitting at home. His friends are driving cars and have
but
houses.
But if you deep it, like, he's 24.
He's 24. And most of them are doing fraud, sis. Most of them are doing fraud.
Exactly. A lot of these people
are doing fraud, I promise you. Like, and the thing is, and that's also what's damaging and what's killing our people, because they're comparing themselves to people that are literally stealing money. So obviously they're going to look like they're rich, because they are rich. They're dishonest. They're dishonestly rich.
Yeah.
So obviously they are going to look like they're winning. So it's damaging. And then it also makes you, when you're then comparing yourself to people that are doing fraud, it makes you feel like you're going at a slower pace because you're doing things the right way, because you're actually taking your time and actually living a realistic life. And it's hard, because honestly, even me, I don't have the answer to how to navigate that, because it's hard.
It is. And I think, I mean, I guess going to your, you know, example of Big Tipper, I think sometimes it's also a generational thing where we see things very differently because we've experienced life in a different way. So, for example, back in the day, getting a degree at university was like winning a trophy. You know, you could get into the highest paying job just like that. But now everybody has a degree. It's not as not as glamorous, but it's not as, you know, like, oh, only one person can get it. Like, anyone could literally get a degree right now. So, and I think there's so much competition because everyone's doing so well. So they're expecting more from us. So I think sometimes parents don't see that. They only see, oh, you know, you've been brought up in the UK. You've got all these opportunities. Why are you still like this? I never had that when I was younger. But they don't understand the struggles that we face now. That
don't,
we
because
can't,
back then,
you can't compare that
like
to
£1,000.
Exactly. Like, even now, how can you save? I saw on Twitter, someone brought out, like, you know, the average salaries that in the UK, and London came out the worst, like, in terms of how much you can save post tax and everything. Is miniature. There's nothing you can do with that.
And then this is also where the house prices are the most expensive as well. So it's almost impossible to get onto that property ladder with just a singular income, a singular average income. Do you know what I mean? So even from that, you feel pressured to then have the multiple streams of income, which is not a bad thing, because I do endeavour to have multiple streams of income, because I really feel like that's the only way you're actually going to live comfortably nowadays, because everything is so expensive. But at the same time, I feel
pressured. You need to go at your own pace.
I feel pressured to do it now. And I shouldn't feel pressured. I don't want to feel pressured to have to have six streams of income right now. Do you know what I mean? It's an interesting one. How can we educate our parents? How can we educate them to stop the comparing and to, because it's,
I think it's to do with setting boundaries.
Yeah.
I think it's to do with setting boundaries, and it's not easier. It's easier said than done. But it's really about boundaries and parents understanding that the way society is now is totally different to how it was back then, and being willing to understand that and being willing to trust in their child's sort of like way of thinking and preferred career path. So, I mean, I guarantee if you had an African parent and their, you know, their child was studying medicine and they were on their way to becoming a doctor, and, you know, they would be so happy compared to someone
that's
who,
the ideal. That's
compared
the
to
ideal,
someone
yeah.
who's maybe studying a creative subject like graphics, and you know, obviously we all know it's not that easy to get a job afterwards. You know, there's a whole lot of factors to put into it, but they respect certain career paths more. So I think if they are more open-minded to understanding what their child's strengths are and what their interests are, that could be a way to begin to move forward. And like, yeah, I said, boundaries, respecting what the child wants and leaving them to be, I think is really important.
I think it's also important that we, you know, articulate ourselves well when we are speaking to our parents. We are not being rude, we're just being very direct, and we're being assertive, and we're confident as well in what we're saying, because our parents love us at the end of the day, you know, and majority of the time what they're saying is out of love. It's not out of a place of hatred that you are their child, for goodness sake. So like, even example of Big Tip, and I know I keep mentioning it, but I just remember the day it blew up on Twitter. It was a big thing, and we've all been wondering, you know, where is he, and I just really think that he's been going through it. And you know, I think that in his case, he needs to definitely get the help he needs, for sure, to kind of remain on the straight and narrow, because it can't be easy being in lockdown and having, you know, your mum shout at you. But at the same time, he probably also needs to repair that relationship with his mum, whatever is happening. I don't know what's happening behind closed doors, but clearly something is going on. The same way a lot of us do as well, if we find that our parents are constantly comparing us and we're not. And they're, you know, what they're saying is affecting our security.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I want to just put it out there that, you know, there are some people who are in situations where it's really, really toxic, and it doesn't, talking to them doesn't even work. And I just want to be very mindful of that, that some people's situations are very complex.
Not as easy as it may seem.
It's not easy at all. And I think that's where I feel I'm privileged, because I have never had that sense of, you know, being compared from my, you know, from my parents. And I think I also have the privilege of being in a career field that they're happy with. I don't know if this would be the same story if I was in a more creative space, or now I'm in a creative space, but I'm still working. A whole separate career, but let's just say if I was totally, you know, freelance graphic designer, for example, musician, for example, it might be a different story. I think I have that privilege as
Bianca.
Well,
I think it would be so interesting to actually ask Bianca, you know, how she felt, maybe her parents felt about her going into a creative industry, because a lot of parents just don't understand it, because that's not what they were brought up with. They were brought up with very traditional subjects, law, medicine. If it wasn't healthcare or medicine or engineering, it's just like, what's that? Even me, that's really psychology. I was surprised. My mom and dad were just like, okay, you know, they're supporting me all the way. You know, I just had to be confident with it. I told them I love to understand the mind. I love to understand people. I did really well in it at GCSE and A-level. So be it. You know, that's going to be my thing. It just made sense for me to kind of follow that career path.
What about people? I mean, we've touched on pressure from parents, pressure from society. But what about, like, other types of pressure? So I'll give you an example. I went to a Roman Catholic secondary school, right? So they were pretty strict. And I think they did this in at other schools as well, where they put you into sets. At mine. So they put us into sets from set 1 to set 5 or 6, one being the highest set and the latter being the lowest. And those sets were based on where you were ranked in order. So we had about 130 people in our year group.
Yeah.
And every term after doing our exams, I remember we'd have like a massive board in the corridor where everybody's names were listed in rank order of how they've done from top to bottom.
Wow.
And I mean, back then I didn't think too much of it, just because I mean, I wasn't the smartest, but I did considerably well. So I didn't have that pressure of, oh my gosh, I'm always at the bottom. Like, I kind of knew where to look, you know, and bearing in mind, like, everyone could see this.
Yeah.
But now looking back, I feel like those type of pressures are really unproductive and they're quite toxic, actually, because... For those who, like for me, for example, for maths, I was kind of always in the lowest set because I'm not good at maths. Unless it comes to money, then yeah. But, okay. You know, just that example in itself, I feel like it's another added set of pressure where you feel like you kind of have to be boxed in. And if you don't feel, if you don't fit that mold, if you don't fit that particular box, you're not doing well enough.
It's interesting that competitive nature has literally been drilled in us from young. So like, even from, like you said, from secondary school, we were already comparing ourselves with others, like, oh, how well are we doing in comparison to our friend. School kind of instilled that culture in us where we felt pressure to do well so that we can be in the higher set, so that we can achieve awards and stuff. But do you think it's a bad thing? Like, do you think that was unhealthy?
I do. Looking back
I feel like it was. I don't know if I think it was unhealthy or if it provoked us to be more ambitious. I don't know.
This is a thing. I agree with you. Only 50%. But it's because we have the privilege of... were you ever... Let me ask you. Were you ever in the lower sets?
No, I wasn't.
Right. And I wasn't either. Right? So, you know... For someone who was always in the lower set and then maybe felt like, oh, they're not smart enough, they're not good at anything, what would have been better is having a different, a different way of ranking us where it doesn't feel like you're being shunned, you know? Right. It's quite embarrassing, actually.
It is.
If you're in the lower set, and just because you're in the lower set doesn't mean that you're not smart at something else. And I feel like that should have been drilled into us more, because like I said, I mean, my school was pretty much focused on mainly the academic subjects and not really the creative subjects.
They were literally designed like that because I don't think they were set for like citizenship or like psychology. It was mostly set in science, English, maths. Those were the main, really I think the only three that they were set in. So, you know, yeah, I do agree with you to an extent at the fact that because I was kind of always in the higher sets, We never felt it. Yeah, we didn't. To me, it was just like, oh, this is making me even more ambitious. Yes, let's get it.
Yeah.
But to someone who may have been genuinely struggling in maths, for example, they may have felt embarrassed because they were always in the lower sets. Because it was definitely something we spoke about in school. Like, for sure, oh, what set are you in? What did you do? The foundation paper? Oh, I did it, da.
Exactly.
Even that is a bit like, so then what the highest you can get is a C, right? Like, so.
I feel like it was just a bit insensitive. I understand the concept behind it, but especially with, like, mental health and just the well-being of a child. I mean, you're talking about children here who are still trying to figure out, you know, what they like, what they don't like, and... You know, that added pressure as well is not helpful. So I think, there should have been other ways. But hopefully, now, I don't know if it's changed that much, but I think definitely creative subjects are seeping their way in.
Yeah.
You think it's the same?
I do think the whole thing with the sets and stuff is the same now.
Mm-hmm.
Even with creative subjects, like, I still think that they are kind of just add-ons. I do think the focus is on the traditional subjects. Mm. And I get it to an extent, but I do think that a lot more children, if they were pushed in the creative aspects, they would do so much better because some people are just naturally creative.
Exactly.
But the way society has kind of made us focus on the traditional subjects as well as the traditional career paths, and then anyone that's kind of in a creative career path is just like, ugh, no. There was something I saw from Elon Musk today, I've got to find it, where he was saying something around we need less smart people doing, or we have too many smart people stuck in finance careers, something like that. And that really resonated, something like that, because what he was saying is that a lot of people are so creative and they should be making things and creating things, but instead they're kind of stuck in a finance career where they're not really able to explore their creative side or their innovative side because they are boxed in into this career path. And I found that really interesting because that kind of told me that actually it's so true. A lot of people are really creative, but just don't have the opportunity to show that because they are in the, you know, investment banking or the, I don't know, law, which isn't a bad thing. But, you know, there's so much more out there now. You know what I mean? Now
and everyone's taking stuff. For a lot of people who are in that position, I am aware that it's not always their choice. And sometimes being in those type of career fields is kind of like the second option just to get them some steady income until they can find a way to make their first career dream a reality. I do get that. But then, you know, also at the same time, it's like, I mean, my mom always, from when I was young, she always told me, she always used to say, oh, Jennifer, our five fingers are not the same. Like, everybody's different. Everyone has their different strengths. And I think, again,
love that.
This is where my privilege comes in, where, you know, she's always looked at what I'm good at and then what I'm not good at and kind of helped me plan out my life in a way, saying, okay, maybe you should go into this or maybe you should go into that. Or, you know, just finding solutions. And I think that's why I'm so, like, solution-focused. I don't really like to dwell too that's much amazing. When something bad has happened. I'm like, okay, what can we do next? But again, I know not everybody has that sort of privilege in a way that I did, which is sad to hear sometimes. Like, sometimes I hear my friends who talk about, oh, I really want to do this, but my mom's trying to get me to do... to do nursing. I'm like, well, first of all, you don't even like the sight of blood.
I've heard that too.
The hell would you go into that field?
Yeah, I've heard that too. But yeah, it's interesting. Do you know what? Should we do our Oh My Pod? We haven't even done our Oh My Pod.
Oh My Pod.
So for those of you that don't know what Oh My Pod is, in all of our episodes, we like to talk about something that shocked us or something that's worthy of being discussed because it's just like a moment. So yeah, Jen's got something for us today. So,
okay.
Jen, Oh My
so, Pod. So I was on TikTok the other day. Shout out to TikTok. I mean, I absolutely love it. Like, every single night I'm on it. I think I'm an addict.
I can't get into it. It's too complicated.
Are you being serious?
I've tried. I just can't.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know how to make videos. I don't really get it. It's just a lot. And there's too much going on now. It's Clubhouse, Instagram, Twitter. It's just too much.
There's a lot. But if you want to have a laugh, if you want to have a little kiki at night, just go on TikTok and there'll be loads of videos.
Okay.
But so I was on TikTok and I was watching this. I mean, I wasn't too sure, but I saw there was a guy who said he was pregnant. And he's kind of like an influencer on TikTok. I know, look at Shani's face. Sorry. So obviously the question, you know, people are questioning what, you know, how did this happen? And he has this condition of having both male and female reproductive systems. So what happens is that, I mean, in his case, and obviously for everyone it's a bit different, but in his case, he was born a male. And he was born a male, but he also had ovaries as well. So he had the two sex organs.
Is that a thing? And so that could actually happen.
It can happen.
Wow.
And even with that, I forgot her name. She's an athlete who was banned from running. I think she's from South Africa, and they banned her because she has a lot of
testosterone.
Testosterone, that's the one.
Really?
I think she's got the same condition as well. And obviously they banned her because they said it was not fair and it, you know, became this whole legal dispute. And I think it's still ongoing, to be honest. But anyway, so yeah, this person started educating us about that and then said that, you know, he's in the process. He doesn't really know if he wants to transition into a male or a female. But what he did know is that he wanted to have children. By the way, he identifies as a male. And for, I guess, yes, still up in question. But yeah, then he ended up getting pregnant because he has ovaries, so he's able to get pregnant. So what they did was basically like IVF, inserted sperm into him, and then he's now carrying a baby.
So he wanted to get pregnant?
Yeah. He wanted to get pregnant, yeah.
Why?
But then obviously could not get pregnant the natural way because of how his reproductive system was set up. If he's got the reproductive organs to carry a baby, what then?
So if I well, there's nothing I can really liken to in terms of a male, because there's nothing really males can do that women can't necessarily. I mean, do you know what I mean? But I'm just trying to think of a, like, on the flip side, but I can't even think of an example for the flip side.
I mean, this could go into a whole nother, like, debate, but to me, that I'd never seen or heard anything like that before.
So has he given birth?
No, still pregnant. Still pregnant.
Oh my god. Yeah. I've never heard. No, I have heard of something like this before, actually, on like a documentary thing. But I think the person was a woman before and then did a sexual
And
then
that person would only have one reproductive organ. So that, you know, he would have transitioned from a female to a male.
Yeah.
Whereas this person has both. They're both.
That's, you know, so odd.
It's very odd, but it just shows you, like, just how this world is and the different types of people in it.
Thanks for that, Jen. Yeah. So, guys, what do you think about that? Do you think that males should have the opportunity to give birth? Whether they have the organ or not, let us know what you think, please. Anyway,
let's get back into the topic. I digress. I've got a question. What do you think about the idea of having to pay rent to your parents if you live in the same house?
Abuse.
Really?
Nonsensical.
Oh my gosh, abuse as well. Okay. All right.
Okay, maybe I stretch it with abuse, but your children didn't ask to be brought into this world. Why are you asking them to pay you rent? Like, because, and the thing is, it would be good to understand the parent's perspective. If the parent is genuinely struggling, right?
Yeah.
And they know their child is in a good job and everything, then I get it to an extent. But they can help out with bills. They can help out with other things. But the fact that you are charging your child rent, saying that every month they have to pay you this amount, I don't think that's right. Because number one, you're stopping them from being able to save for their own place in the future. Number two, even if they don't want their own place in the future and they want to rent, you're still blocking their savings because you're absolutely hindering their savings. Number three, they've just finished uni. Or even if they haven't just finished uni, they're your child. They are learning, they're developing, they are trying to adjust to the pressures of this world, and you want to add extra pressure, again, pressure to them by charging them rent. I think it is...
Okay, nah.
What do you think?
I hear you, and I do agree with, like, your points, where, especially, I mean, I think it depends on the context and the circumstances. If that parent or the, you know, parents are struggling, struggling, and the child has the financial means. When I say financial means, like you said, has a good paying job where, you know, they're able to set aside some money to contribute, by the way, not really, you know, take on massive bills of the household, and, you know, they're both in agreement and it's not like something that's really enforced on them, I think that's absolutely fine. Obviously there was a discussion a couple of weeks ago on Clubhouse where there were, you know, people were talking about the subject and, you know, how their parents were financially exploiting them, and, you know, they were in a position.
I can't relate to this. When I hear well, stories like this, I'm just like, wow, people really, you know, like, do it in their homes, you know.
Exactly. And people actually getting abused, you know, financially by their parents who have almost like preyed on them from when they were young to get to a certain stage where they can just grab their money, you know, because they feel like they owe it to them. Now, for me personally, I do contribute towards the house. I have done so since I graduated, since I got a job, a graduate job. And the reason for me is because I've always kind of seen my mum, you know, trying to, you know, put things together and, you know, not necessarily struggle, but I guess in a way struggle to make ends meet, but still being able to run a household. She's done it quite well. So
three grown for me, adults as well.
Three, you know, my two brothers who are now 18 years old. I forgot how old they were.
How can I imagine you how old your brothers are?
They're both 18 now, but it's like, you know, back then I knew that I had a good job. I have some spare money to, not even spare money, but I had some money to put aside
you
to contribute because
it.
I knew
yeah.
I could budget through it. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going too deep, but I don't know about all African parents or just parents in general, but there's something called like child tax credit or benefits from, you know, when the child, the parents get it up to when the child is 18 years old. Now, a lot of people, a lot of parents don't give that money directly to the child, and they rather use that to run the household, right? And once that child turns 18, that money stops. And a lot of the time, that's when the financial issues heighten. So knowing that, I made the conscious decision to sit down with my mum and say, look, this is how much I can contribute. Let's put everything together. And it's worked so far. I've never felt any pressure.
That's amazing.
This is something that I want to do. I'm not forced to do it. But I just can't. I can't.
You phrase a bit. Just repeat the bit. I think you said you weren't forced to do it. Just repeat that bit and then carry on.
So I wasn't forced to do it or anything like that. But I just know that deep down in my heart, I can't sit back and just go about my life and, you know, that kind of stuff, knowing that my mom might be struggling. I personally can't do it. That's a separate situation because she's not asking for it. I'm willing to give that to her. Now, I feel like, that being said, I feel like there is a certain age that you get to. If you're still living in your parents' house, yeah, and you're working, you're maybe 28 years old. Why should you not contribute? Why should you not contribute even a little bit?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I do think that you should contribute to when you're working. I do think that you should help out, even if it's that you're doing the grocery shopping once a week, or you're contributing to council tax, or you know, you're contributing to something in the house that you are living in. I am in full support of that, because it shows that, you know, you are appreciative of your parents because they have raised you. You know, they have they've, you know, raised you. You're living in their house.
But is that the only way? I'm just trying to play. I don't want to say that sentence, because I saw something on Twitter saying, "Did the devil ask you to act on his
behalf?" To advocate for him. It's true. That's what, when people say that, I do get a bit like.
But I don't want to say it's true. There needs to be another
term. Did the
devil
ask you to be his advocate? I don't think so.
But on the flip side, there we go. On the flip side, you know, what about if, I forgot my point. What did you say again?
So I was saying, no, you were going to, I think you were going to say, is that the only way to show appreciation?
Or Exactly. Is that the only way to show appreciation? Because then it's a thing, it goes back to your point where
it's not.
They're your parents for a reason. Yeah. Like, why should you have to show appreciation, especially at a prime time where you're trying to figure out yourself financially? Can't you just show appreciation just by being their child? You know?
No, that's the answer. I think, you know, I do think that, because again, this goes back to pressures. I don't think your parents should pressure you into contributing financially. I think it should be a thing that you desire to do because you are more mature now. You are aware of what could be going on, and even if nothing's going on, even if your parents are well off, and like I you know, for me, thank God, I come from a very privileged home, never been asked to pay a penny, never been asked to contribute. But just because I know I'm working, I've got a great job, I'm earning good money, it's I just feel like let me also not even give back. Like, my parents are not a charity case, but like, let me, you know, I'm grown now. Let me contribute. Yeah. I'm living in this house.
Take responsibility. Take responsibility. Yeah,
I'm living in this house as well. I'm enjoying, you know, the benefits of living in a house. I'm not, you know, living up, I haven't moved out yet. So why should I not contribute, you know? And I would hope my children would do the same too. Not because I'm going to cajole them or ask them to, but because they want to out of love.
And I do feel like those pressures do heighten the older you get.
For males, the reason I say that is because there's a maybe society, though. I do feel like for males there's like this whole thing where why are you at home when you're a man after 25? How are you still living in your parents' home? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I do think that's more pressure from external forces, though. But when I say external, like social media, society, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah. But the I'm not good with that.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I can't answer it because it depends on the context.
I'm sure so there I could be for or against. Reason. Yeah, I think the whole notion of it... to me just seems mad. Of course,
I mean, I wouldn't want that to be the case.
Yeah,
but I know in some people's circumstances, including my own, it's almost like there's no choice. If I don't, things might crumble.
Right.
And I know it shouldn't be the child's responsibility, but that also, then I also think about age. I'm getting older. I'm 25. I've got a stable job. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
And that's you. And that, do you know what that shows actually? That shows that your mom, you know, your parents raised you very well to have those morals, because some of us would just be like, ugh, my parents brought me into this world. I didn't ask to be here. Let me keep enjoying them. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to contribute. I don't need to buy anything for the house. Like, I didn't ask to be here type thing. So, you know, it also shows that our parents did a good job, you know. But no one should feel pressured to have to pay
that's the thing, a
huge
yeah.
amount every month. No one should feel pressured. That's why I'm so against the rent thing. I just think it's too much. But, I mean,
it can be detrimental to... It can. You know, the child's mental health, and again, you know, they're trying to figure out themselves. That shouldn't really be their main responsibility. They are the child. I'm talking about maybe if you're like 17, 18, 19, 20, like, you know, early 20s. But I think the older you get, of course, expect some responsibility to fall on your lap if you're not that privileged.
Of course,
you know,
because when, it's true. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
But anyways,
Before we end, another section that we do in all our episodes is the She's All That. This is my favorite segment. So for our new listeners, She's All That is where we celebrate a woman who is thriving, who is doing great things in her space. She could be someone famous, or she could be someone local that we know personally. So if you have any nominations, by the way, for anyone who's worth celebrating, we also give them a shout out on our page too. So yeah, if you have any nominations, please DM us, email us, text us if you know us personally.
And also, we really want to start
nominating more people from our community.
Yeah, and also, like, it doesn't have to be someone who's got a massive following. It could literally be your next door neighbor. It could be anybody who you feel has inspired you.
On one of my episodes, I nominated myself. So if you want to nominate yourself, please do so. If you feel like you are worth celebrating, which you all are anyway, please nominate yourself and we'll give you a shout out on our episodes. But yeah, so this week, She's All That is my friend, one of my best friends, Femi Omotade. She is the founder of an online book club called The Book Alert. She's just about a year in, or just less than a year in, I think about a year now. And, you know, she has grown exponentially on Instagram. She's held live in-person book clubs as well as online book clubs. I've attended both and, you know, they've been so good. I'm not even a reader. typically, but because of her book club and because of her passion for books, she I've actually started reading, and you know, it's mainly fiction, which is something that I really don't even read, but I've started reading and I'm actually learning a lot. So yeah, that's and good. The reason why I'm shouting her out is because despite, you know, she's had quite a difficult year, but last year she had quite a difficult year, challenging year. But despite that, she's pushed through, she kept on going, it's growing, it's thriving. And I love when people do what they're passionate about. For me, that inspires me. Because I do think it's important to have an outlet where you can just express yourself. And that's why I say she's a pod is mine. So yeah, that is my she's that for this week. Amazing. So Femi girl, we love you. You're amazing. Keep it up. And we pray that
everyone give her a follow as well
to grow. Exactly. It's the Book Alert on Instagram. Follow her there and learn all about the books. Yes. Even if you're not in a reader, trust me, you'll get into it once you scroll through the page, because that was me. I'm not typically a reader, okay, so our closing thoughts on, you know, the whole pressures, feelings of having to get your life together before 30. What would be your, I guess, final words to someone who is feeling that pressure, including myself, because me, I'm feeling the pressure. So
I guess my piece of advice to myself as well would be run your own race. I mean, what's that saying? Slay in your lane. Try not to look at other people's ideas of success and feel that your version of success, you know, isn't there or you haven't met it. You don't know what's happening behind closed doors. Everyone's journey is different. Just make sure you stay true to yourself. And regarding pressures from society, from parents, whatnot, try and have an honest conversation with those who you feel are pressuring you. Try to set some boundaries as well if you can. And just know that, you know, you're not alone, that there are platforms out there. Like I said, there was a discussion on Clubhouse the other day where you could really see that, you know, other people were going through it as well. So don't feel like this is just you that's going through this too. But again, just try and hone in yourself and try and, you know, believe in your craft, believe in your just believe in yourself believe in yourself and believe that you can actually make it and you don't have to do what other people are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. What about you? For me, so I searched up, you know, people that were successful way after their 30s. I know I have some personal examples as well, but success is not capped for when you are 30. When you're 30 does not mean you're going to stop achieving. Like, I don't know why society puts that pressure on us, and it's crazy and it's damaging. But these are some people that, you know, blew way after their 30s. Samuel L. Jackson got his first role. I'm sure we all know him. He got his first acting role when he was 46.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Morgan Freeman, who we all know. Sometimes we even joke that this guy's been old his whole life. Well, that's because he only really became known and famous when he was 50. That's when he had his first big break. Yeah. You know, Steve Carell, 43. So many people started when they were later on in their life. Even Jay-Z, I'm sure he started later on in life as well, in terms of when he started making music and stuff. And I think when you think of people like that who are among the richest, most successful people now, not all of them, in fact, most of them probably started to do really well when they were over 30. So I think that pressure needs to be debunked. I think it's something that society has created because we allow it to create that pressure in us. I think if, you know, it's social media that's causing you to feel a type of way, come off it. Yeah. I know it sounds hard.
Or mute people as well. Or mute,
exactly. Mute, unfollow, but I think ultimately come off it for a bit. Yeah. If you need an actual break to detach yourself from that noise, come off it, because that's something I'm going to do very soon. I do try to keep, so I've created a private Instagram, but I do try to keep, you know, Instagram there and Twitter there for the brand purposes and for building my brand. But at the end of the day, my mental health comes first. So if I'm feeling toxic and feeling negative because of what I'm seeing on social media, then I know it's time to come off, and I'd really encourage you to do so. And then also just remember that life is not a race. One of my friends bought his first property at 31. Now, to me, that's an amazing age. He's been grinding for 5 years to do that. But today we see things like, oh, I got my first mortgage at 19, and think that it's normal to get your first mortgage at 19.
It's not.
Yeah. Let's be real, it's not. So, yeah, remind yourself of those people. Keep that in mind. If you have to set reminders on your phone to remind you of those people that got famous after that certain age, if you have to research into their stories, do so. But just know that life is not a race. You will get
there.
Have to be consistent. You've got to be focused. But you will get there. And that's why platforms like She's in a Pod are here, because that's we want to support you. It's enough. We don't want to just hear the fluff and all of this and all of that. But yeah. Oh, another example, Susan Boyle. I'm sure you remember Susan Boyle.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Susan Boyle. Of course. No, X Factor. No, you're right. Britain's Got Talent.
What do you mean?
You're right. I said that with confidence as well. Oh my gosh, embarrassing. But yeah, she had a big break on Britain's Got Talent. Guess how old she was?
I don't know.
47. But people think the prime age to blow as a singer is what, 25? Yeah. Like, I don't know why we have this stuff in our head that thinks that we need
more examples of that.
And do you know what? Let's do a thread on our page. When this episode comes out, let's do a thread of all the people that have achieved success way after their 30s, because people need to know that this is real life. And most of our parents only started doing well way after 30. So,
we should do that. If you have anyone
else in mind, text us. As I keep saying text us. DM us or email us.
They have your number.
As in. But yeah, guys. So I hope that helped. This was super fun.
I love this. I hope everyone got something out of it. Shall we close up? I mean, we've been talking for ages now.
Let us round up.
Follow us on our socials. There's still this. Oh, but wait, hold on. By the way, have you seen our rebrand? I just want to plug it out there. Like, our rebrand. If you haven't seen our rebrand, check it out now.
Check it out. Let us know what you think. We've gone for a lot. Gone for a very mature vibe, a very cool, classy look, because that's the vibe that we want at the moment. So
yeah, love it.
Check it out. Okay, so follow us this on episode, Instagram at
She's in a Pod,
on Twitter at
She's in a Pod. Everything She's in a Pod, basically. We made it super easy for you. Our website as well. Please subscribe to our newsletter, to our email list.
Where you'll
be getting newsletters and other surprising stuff that we've got in store for you as well.
And for season 3, we've said that we're going to do weekly episodes, so we're committing to it. It's going to be hard work, but we want
hold
us accountable, because we want to produce more regular content for you guys. We want you guys to be more engaged. So yeah, weekly episodes, sign up to our email list, stay connected with us. We've got a lot of things coming and we want to keep you guys along.
Amazing.
But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars. Ignore my nail break today. But yeah, thanks, guys. Love you so much. Thanks for all the support. Mwah. Thanks for listening.
Bye.